as we're teaching in the book of Deuteronomy, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. I really appreciate when people say, hey, you know, I'm seeing things I never saw in the Word, and that's encouraging, because if you think you know it all, you don't know nothing. And you and I will probably not get along very well, because I like to be around people who know that they don't know anything. You know what I mean? That they're learning every day and getting closer to the Lord. Amen. Because I find that the longer I do this called life and ministry, the more I realize I don't know that much. Because the Lord is always teaching us and training us. So Deuteronomy, last time we got together was in chapter 6, by the way. Live stream, we love you and appreciate you. Appreciate the family of God that's increasing. I do have some exciting news I'm going to share with you, but I'm going to wait till Sunday. I think Sunday. Is that right, Joshua? We're going to have it all together on Sunday. So we're going to share that information. All right, so somebody says, yeah, you kind of knew that was going to happen. I was going to drag it out a little bit. But I believe that God is full of surprises. Look at your neighbor. I mean, they're here with you. That's a surprise. Amen. He's full of surprises, so I like to do the same. But it's going to be good. So watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Last time we got together, we were just teaching in verse 1. And teach to do. Remember that? Teach to do. You teach in order for you to do. I'm not up here teaching so that I can be, you know, seen on television and cameras and different stuff. I do it so you do what God told you to do, so that I would do what I'm supposed to do. So you teach to do. You learn so that you do. And so Moses was teaching them to do what they were supposed to do in order to possess the land. Because if you don't learn what to do, you'll never possess the land. You'll never possess what God wants you to possess. You'll always go around the mountain. And many people, many Christians, live in a life of a cycle. A cycle that is dead end. A cycle that is repetitive. A cycle that never sees the victory that is due them. Amen. Isn't that true? We all go through that. We go through cycles. And we never come to that place of victory, because we never learn what we're supposed to do. So Moses was teaching to do. He was bringing them into that position to where they needed to be. We were talking about guarding these promises. You can look at that in verse 3, to guard the promises. These teachings that Moses was trying to give to them, so that, again, they could go into that promised land and possess these things. One of the things about, you know, getting saved, when you're born again, that's awesome. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you have to learn the principles of the Word and then guard them in order to possess the promises of God. And many people fall short of that because they never go through the teaching. They never go through the training, and they never become disciple. They're cruise-o-matics. They cruise from one church to the other. They never find a place to sit at the feet of a pastor or a shepherd or someone to lead them, because they don't want to be responsible. I'm going to find somebody. Listen, they don't want to be responsible, because when you become responsible to the Word of God, that means you have to do what you hear. Come on now. You can't just be a hearer. You got to be a doer of the Word. And so, to determine whether you have reached some level of maturity and are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to begin to do what you're being taught. But if you're never in one place and you cruise around everywhere, or you're a person that just surfs the channels looking for something new to be taught, you never ever come to the knowledge of what God wants to teach you in a stable way. That's good teaching right there. And that's kind of where we were last time, speaking of Moses bringing forth these teaching principles. And again, they apply to us. It's amazing to me, again, how people bypass and pastors bypass the Old Testament and they miss the nuggets of truth that are there. Remember, the Word of God, it doesn't change because God doesn't change. The principles remain the same. And so we can learn a lot, and I think we're learning a lot right now. Verse 5, it talked about we worship in unity, which is it's extremely important. We need to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. We need to worship him with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. That means we are involved in worship. You know, so many people, when they worship, they sit on their hands. I don't sit on my hands. I lift my hands. I worship God in spirit, soul, mind, and body because my body gets into it. My life gets into it. I want to express my love to the Lord. Somebody says, well, you don't have to be emotional to be spiritual. Well, you know, you don't have to, but you can't help it sometimes. You can't help it. When I think about his goodness, when I think about everything he's done for me, I got to clap my hands a little bit. I got to stomp my feet a little bit. I got to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. I got to say something because of what he's done for me. So anyways, I get a little excited about the Lord, but I've been through hell and back is better. And I got a testimony to tell you how good God is. So I don't make excuses. I don't worry about what folks think about it anyhow. So verse 6, we talked about in your inner man. We went on to, again, to teach the verse. Let's see, that was in verse 7. Again, the talk. Remember how it was taught to teach your children, to talk in the house. You know, if you're a believer, then you talk it. You don't just walk it, you talk it. And you don't just talk it, you walk it. So there's this lifestyle, and Moses was showing the children of Israel, listen, if you want to keep these promises, if you want to walk in these promises, if you want to walk in the possessions of God, you got to keep talking it. You got to share it. You got to decree it. You got to show your family. Amen. And so one of my duties as a father, as a, you know, a husband, as a dad, which I like dad. That's my favorite title. You can call me what you want to call me. I've been called a lot of things, but my favorite's dad. And one of the things as a dad is I got to show my children the righteousness of God. I got to show them holiness. You as a parent or a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, you got to show them the righteousness of God. So this is what Moses was teaching them. Again, these are principles to not only possess the land, but to keep the land. And so you apply that template over to today, and the Word of God is applied to me and you, so not only do I get to possess the things of God, I get to keep them. If I don't follow the Word of God, then there's many things I forfeit. There's many things I lose, and there's many things that the enemy takes over, and we forfeit. I'm not giving the devil anything. Wish I had somebody help me. And so it's the truth. So so much there. And this is the problem. When I go over this stuff again, I want to teach the whole thing over and over. And then I get new things for you. But we're going to move past chapter 6. But it was enjoyable. I took you to, let's see, verse 16. We talked about Exodus chapter, was that 17? And verse 4. Teach it, talk it, and then pass it on. We talked about that towards the end. So anyways, good stuff. I enjoyed that chapter. But we're going to move on, though, and get into tonight's teaching on Deuteronomy chapter 7. Everybody say Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're moving along, amen. We should be done. Well, it took us almost a year to get here, right? We started towards the end of the year. But Deuteronomy chapter 7. For those on live stream, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to try to throw the scriptures up top on the screen for you. Don't get used to that. I don't know if we're going to keep doing it, but we're going to try it out, and then we kind of have it out here on the for the folks here in the sanctuary. So let's go on to verse 1, and let's begin to teach Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. So you can see there it says, "When the Lord thy God," everybody say, "When." You need to highlight when, circle it, because it's when, not if. Watch out now. The will of God, when it is known, perfect faith exists. And let me say it this way. When the will of God is known, perfect faith exists. Faith doesn't say when. Faith doesn't say if. Faith says when. It's going to happen. It's not if. So he says when. Remember that. You must keep that in your memory, that where the will of God is known, perfect faith exists. I don't question and wonder if I'm born again. I know it's the will of God. I confess with my tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know that I'm born again. So it's not if I go to heaven, it's when I go to heaven. So if I believe I'm healed, if I believe the Lord has blessed me, if I believe that the promises of God are yea and amen, it is not a question of if, it's a question of when. And so Moses is showing this principle. When the Lord thy God shall, everybody say shall. See, it's an absolute. He shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations. Cast out. Now, the word cast out in the Hebrew means to clear away. Anybody ever had any property cleared before? Cleared away. The Lord says, I'm going to clear some things out of your way. I'm going to cause some enemies that are in your way to be cleared out. What does faith say? Faith says this, that if I'm going to possess the land, then there's some enemies that have to be evicted. Not if, but when I possess the land. And so, again, we're watching Moses teach a very powerful principle to Israel as well as to you and I, because the Word of God is a template of truth. You can take that overlay from the Old Testament and put it on the New Testament and find that he's the same and that the principles are the same. Is that right? Absolutely right. Things don't change. Man changes, and man tries to change God. So when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the, who are those? The Girgazites and the Amorites and the Tekoaites and the Canaanites and the Persites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Seven nations. Everybody say seven nations. Greater and mightier than thee. Go on now. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and just kind of make a move out. No. You utterly destroy them, and thou shalt not make no covenant with them. So let me stop right there. He says seven nations. Now, we know seven, the understanding of seven, biblical numerology, is completion. It means to be finished. It means all. It means perfection. And it means rest. So God says that when you go into that land, not if, but when, you go into that land, I'm going to bring you into a place of perfection. I'm going to bring you into a place of rest. But there's something that's got to happen first. You got to cast out some enemies. You got to clear some enemies. You got to cut down some hedges. You got to weed some things. What are we watching Moses do? Moses is teaching a powerful principle. Watch this, of discipleship. It's discipline. What is a disciple? A disciple of Jesus Christ is a disciplined follower. There's a lot of stagnant Christians who say that they're followers of Jesus, but they're undisciplined. Let me try that again. They're undisciplined because they don't spend time with him. They don't spend time in relationship. They don't spend time in the word. They don't spend time in study. And therefore, they're undisciplined. If you're a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, people can tell. People can see. People can tell the difference. And so Moses is bringing this principle. And so when the Lord thy God shall deliver thee before them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show no mercy unto them. I want you to write this down like it is in my notes, because I wrote, show sin no mercy. Don't show sin any mercy. Now, again, this is a principle. Now, we don't have to go and destroy enemies in the natural as believers. We're born again. Jesus won the victory on the cross. We have battles we have to go through, battles of your flesh, battles of your attitude, battles of carnality, battles of lust, battles of addictions, battles of past baggage that you bring into the kingdom and that God is trying to help you and I with. We have those battles, but we don't have an enemy per se in the natural. Whether you have family members or in-laws or not, they're not really your enemies, by the way. We don't have the Hittites and all these other ites out there. But we do have the issue of our sin. We have our emotional baggage of our past relationships and past marriages and past tragedies and abuses. We have baggage. We have luggage. We carry a lot of things around us. You could just kind of nod your head if I'm telling you the truth. And we all do. No one's perfect in this room, but we're being perfected. We're being perfected. And so these enemies that are there, God is trying to bring us to a place to understand. And he's using Deuteronomy chapter 7 here to understand that as we walk in faith, as we walk in victory, as we walk in truth, we can see these enemies of our past defeated. Okay, but we have to utterly destroy them so we don't show sin any mercy. Okay, what did Paul say to do? Romans chapter 8, he said this. He said, you are to mortify the deeds of the body. And you should also, what? Mortify the members of the body. Or another way, we should crucify the things in our lives that keep us from walking into perfection. Now, perfection does not mean that I'm holier than thou and I don't do anything wrong. Perfection means completion. I am completed in Christ, but I'm being perfected. I'm being changed into his image day by day, glory by glory. Come on, somebody. That's why I always tell folks, I said, I don't have a big Superman sign underneath my shirt. I have a sign that says under construction. Because God's still working on me. Again, I'm not as perfect as most of you all in this house, but I'm trying. Amen? So where are we at? We're at verse 3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. Go on. For they will turn away thy son from following me. Now watch this. You know, there's some bigots, there's some prejudiced people that don't understand, you know, they don't think races should mix and all that. And you get all this crazy stuff that's out in the world today. This is not what God was speaking of. There's nothing wrong with races mixing. Here's what I always tell people, because I've had people ask me that before about, you know, races and should I marry this person? You can marry anybody you want to marry if God allows it, but you better be ready to pay the price. Let me try that one more time. You better be ready to pay that price, whether they're the same race or not, because there's always a price to pay. Watch this, because relationships are always risky. Boy, I feel like this microphone ain't working. All relationships are risky. You always come to a place of risk when you get close to somebody, always. Whether it's close to your pastor, it's close to somebody in the church, you're going to marry somebody, you take a risk. So are you willing to pay that price? So, you know, again, there's people that have this crazy mindset. No, God wasn't against that. And I'm going to show you how that's true. Watch this. For they will turn away thy son from following me. That was the problem. The problem was they're going to leave God. They're going to leave that relationship with him. That's why we're not to be unequally yoked. Unequally yoked has nothing to do with color. Now, if you're going to marry somebody from India and they don't know Jesus Christ, what do you think your problem is going to be? You're going to have to deal with Hinduism. You're going to have to deal with mom and daddy and the family. You're going to have to deal with culture and societal issues. All right? And so he says, for they will turn thy son away from following me, that they may serve other gods. so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So that's a great principle. It's a great principle to do what? Obey God. You'd be surprised how many people don't pray about relationships, whether they're business relationships, whether they're physical relationships with marriage. They don't pray. They just say, well, you know, I'm needy. I'm desperate. I don't want to be alone anymore. She fits the bill. He fits the bill. They got a pulse and a job. Let's do it. And never seek God and never pray. When I married my wife, I asked her to marry me. How long has it been? Almost 25 years now, honey. Woo, that's a long time. It's been awesome. It's been rough for her, I'll tell you that right now. She's going to get a Purple Heart and a Medal of Honor in heaven. But she had a list of what she was believing for. And I exceeded that list, by the way. But, you know, and I had my list. And I had things I brought before the Lord. And I said, God, this is what I want. Are you listening? And so many times we don't do that. We just take what we can get. I'm going to go back to the scripture because y'all looking crazy. It's the truth. We take what we can get in relationships and God's not in it. And then we wonder why it's busted. We wonder why we're disgusted. We wonder why it's broken. We wonder why we have a trail of tears behind us. It's because we didn't ask God. So they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. All right, so let's go on. But thou shalt you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Now, watch this. We don't go do that. I mean, you know, if there's a cult in town, I'm not going to go vandalize it. I'm not going to trespass and go to jail or do something crazy. But what does this mean to us? How does that apply today? That means that I show my sin no mercy. I show my past no mercy. I don't go back to the vomit. I don't go back to what I used to be. I don't go back and long for those days. You know, I listen to some Christians, and they talk about their old days as though they still live in them. They talk about almost like they fantasize they were with that person again, or they was back boozing at the bar and different things. Buddy, when you're born again, you want to get so far from that trash. I want to get so far from the vomit. I want to get so far from that thing. I'll use it as a testimony, but I'm not going to talk like it was the golden days. Baby, these are the golden days right here. These are my best days when I know that I can go to sleep and not pass out. Come on, somebody. I know where I parked my car. I know who's laying next to me. I know how much money I got in my wallet. I know I didn't hurt nobody last night. Come on. And so what he's telling them, as is applied to us today, is that we burn down those things. And these are great principles that apply to us, but God was using them to put in their hearts an indelible mark. Again, this is a process of discipleship. You got to understand the word of God to know what I'm telling you. It's the truth. For thou art a holy people. You ever heard that before? Didn't Paul say we're holy? Didn't he say we're a peculiar people? Didn't he say we're a royal priesthood? Didn't he say we're chosen? That's what the word says. Well, how come it applies to the Old Testament, but it don't apply to the New Testament? It applies to the whole word of God. Where'd they get it from? They got it from the old. They got it from God. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people. Now, if you want to be lower case and lower class and lower lifestyle believer, go ahead. That's why people say all the time, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. I have a new name. I'm not who I used to be. You may be the same. You may be carrying your baggage around. You may be like Linus with a blanket full of dirt everywhere you go. I'm not that way. I'm a child of the King. I know who I am. My humility is found in his awesomeness and my brokenness because I know who I was, but I don't live in who I was. I live in him, and in him I live and move and have my being. You understand? And so you got to change your attitude about being a believer. So am I technically used to be a sinner? Absolutely. But I'm a saint today. And when you're a saint, you talk different. You walk different. You respect the house of God different. You worship him different. This becomes real to you because it's kingdom. I don't know what else to tell you. It's the truth. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Everybody say special. Now this is really cool because in the Hebrew, the word special there translates and it means this. You ready? Watch this. It means treasure. Woo-wee. See? Am I a piece of junk or am I a treasure? I'm a treasure. Is his blood enough to cleanse me from all unrighteousness? Absolutely. You can take my name off the country club list, but you can't take it out of the palm of his hand. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I've been promoted and elevated to a new lifestyle. So why not live that way and talk that way? He said, what? You're a special people. So the word there in the Hebrew, it means treasure. But it also means this, watch this, it means valued property. I'm about to run around this church. I'm valued property. I used to be trailer trash. I used to be trailer trash. I used to be a city rat. I used to be all those things you used to be. But I'm now valued property. I'm more valuable than the property in Beverly Hills or where else you want to call. Do you understand? And that's Old Testament. That's before the blood of Jesus. Do you understand how powerful this is and how that God has not changed and how God set this in the heart of Israel and then it's transferred, translated to us through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, the New Covenant, through his blood? Why do we live so below our standards? Why do we mealy-mouth Christianity? Why do we slosh in to the things of God and slosh into his house instead of coming into ownership, kingship, understanding I'm a child of God and saying, you know what, I'm valued property. Devil, you're not going to talk to me that way. You're not going to put this on me. You're not going to cause this on me because I'm valued property. The other cool thing about that word there, special, it not only means treasure and valued property, but also means a jewel. I'm not talking about no fake jewelry that you get, you know, at the Dollar Tree. I'm a jewel. Now, you may not think I'm a jewel, but I'm a jewel. And I need to look at you as a jewel. I need to look at you, some of y'all, as a diamond in the rough. You ever heard that before? I'm a diamond in the rough. Well, you got a little more rough than you do diamond, honey, but we're going to fix you up. And the only way to get that rough off the diamond is called pressure. That's why good teaching gets pressure and you don't like it, but that's okay. So it's a there to be a special people unto himself. So I'm a treasure. I'm a valued property. I'm a jewel unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Let's stop right there. Now, that isn't just for the Jews. That's for us. That's for all of us. I don't have time to go into teaching, but the promises that were made to Abraham were made for all mankind, not just a Jew. Because God saw the church through Abraham. He saw his son through Abraham. That's why he cut covenant with Abraham through his son. He had to knock Abraham out. Again, I don't have time to teach on covenant, but it's the truth. And that's what God saw, because the church was always God's plan, but he used Israel to bring forth these truths. And he was trying to bring a separate people unto himself. Okay. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number. But I want you to see this. The Lord did not. In other words, he did set his love. So you need to write it in your note that God set his love on me. And he chose me. I mean, this stuff will blow your mind. You say, well, I already know that. No, you don't live it. I could tell by your face you don't live this truth. He set his love on me. He loves me. As messed up as I am, he loves me. And he chose me. He chose you. He set his love on you. Isn't that powerful? Why can't we get that in our lives? Why can't we get that in our heart and live it? and show the world. Was, you know, most people, if they were a billboard for Christ and for the kingdom and for the church, nobody would want to come. I met so many Christians, they sad and down and all. Why would I want to go to church? Why would I want to know your Jesus? I don't want to know your Jesus. I want to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to know that takes blindness out of people's eyes and opens up deaf ears and the lame walk and makes somebody that has a frown turn it upside down and make them happy, even when they don't have everything. Oh, this is good. So the Lord did not set his love upon you nor chose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. See, God loves us not because we have it all together. He loves us because of Jesus. He loves us and he set his love. But because the Lord loved you, there it is. And because he would keep the oath. Now the word keep there in the Hebrew is what? Shamar. It's the same word that was used in the Garden of Eden when God told Adam to do what? Keep the garden. It's a military term. It means to guard it. Adam didn't guard it. So what happened? They fell. That's right. You blame it on the man. Don't blame it all on Eve. Man had his part as well. When God knocked man out to take the rib out of his side, put him to sleep, man never woke up because he's still asleep today. That's why most women take over, because man don't lead. Man, this is, it's the truth. And we get all mad about it, but the woman has to lead because the man's knocked out. He's comatose. And all he knows how to do is a remote. Like a caveman. Get up and do something. Go mow your yard, clean your yard, do something. Lead the house. Well, I don't know why she's always telling me what to do, because you don't do nothing. Oh, come on. Let me get over here. But because I'm glad this is bulletproof, by the way. Because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath. Now, watch this. This is so cool. Because so many times I teach about Shamar and keeping the oath. God says, I'm going to keep it. See, his love keeps the oath. Man, his love keeps me. His love keeps all of us. His love is guarding us. His love is keeping the covenant and the oath that he made through Jesus Christ. He loves us. That's why I can get up in the morning, even when I've messed up, and know that God loves me, because his mercies are renewed every day. And when the devil tries to remind me of my past, all I got to do is remind him of his future. And all I got to do is look at the past and look at Jesus and what he did for me. You see how you turn this thing upside down? We got to learn how to turn the tables on the devil. Deuteronomy's teaching us to do that, isn't it? Can any good thing come out of Deuteronomy? You better believe it. But he'll keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers. Hath the Lord brought you out with a weak hand? Is that what it says? Mighty hand? With a mighty hand. That's right. And redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Stop right there. Remember what I've taught you so far in the book of Deuteronomy. I find it amazing that Moses is being repetitive. Why is Moses being repetitive? Because most of us never get it the first time. Most of us never get it the first time. We know it all. We've heard it all. We've read all the books. We might have even wrote books. You know, we've watched every YouTube channel. We got it all patented down. Man, we got it. We know what we're talking about. No, we mostly don't, because your lifestyle is evident that you know it, not that you have it in your brain. That was worth the whole thing tonight. Worth your $1 you threw in the offering, if you even did. Is you here today? You gave a dollar. Brother Tony, you're awesome, man. You ain't getting no, you're not getting any change for that dollar, brother. Go back up there. Go back there. Go back. He brought you out with a mighty right hand. A mighty hand. He delivered you. He redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of the king of Pharaoh of Egypt. Why am I repeating that? Why does Moses keep repeating that? Because we need to know where we come from. We need to know the journey. We need to be reminded that what God did for us was so awesome, it will keep us when our next battle comes. this is for me, man. You know, you can go home if you want to go home right now, but this is for me. I need to be reminded that the God that delivered me out of drugs and alcoholism and craziness and things like that, he's the same God that can help me pay my light bill. He's the same God that's going to take care of me when troubles come. He's the same healer that healed me of addictions can heal me of anything. Come on, somebody. You have to believe that, because it's not if, it's when. Watch this. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. That's good to know. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant. That word keepeth is shamar again. He's going to guard the covenant. And mercy with them that love him. Notice the exchange. I will guard and keep you. I will guard and keep the commandment as long as love is there. You stop loving God, you separate yourself from God. He doesn't change. No, he doesn't. He's always the same. But there comes a breach and a separation between you and him. And you got to fix it. Which keepeth covenant mercy with them that have that have him and keep his commandments to how many? 1,000 generations. Look at the word keep again. Now watch this. God says he's going to guard his part. Now you guard your part. What do? You guard your heart. Why? Because out of it comes what? The issues of life. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. I can tell you what kind of Christian you are. Just give me 5 minutes with you. 5 minutes is all I need. I could tell you if you're lackadaisical. I could tell you if you lack luster. I could tell you if you know it all. I could tell you if you spend time with God. I could tell if you are into addictions and pornography and different. Just give me 5 minutes with you, because your mouth will give you away. It always does. You're hung by the tongue. All right, I got to go. And repayeth them that hate him to their face. I wrote in my notes. I don't have to go to my notes, but I wrote in my notes, yikes. That's just a yikes moment. Watch this. And he repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. And he will not be slack to them that hateth him. He will repay them to his face. Yikes. I don't want a problem with God. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I don't want to do that, man. I want to walk a relationship with him. I want to stay pure before him. And if I make a mistake, man, I want to be quick to repent. I want to go to the mercy of God. I want to go to the blood of Jesus and say, Lord, wash me clean. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sins of omission, my sins of commission. Forgive me of those things. Wash me that I may be clean. Take that hyssop, Lord God, and cleanse me. Touch my lips with the fiery coal from off your altar, O God. Come on, we need to consecrate ourselves. That's true holiness, by the way. Ain't got nothing to do with what you're wearing. Let's go on. We got a long way to go. Thou shalt therefore keep. What you going to do? You got to guard it. You're going to keep it. Keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to put them on your wall, to put them on a bumper sticker, to wear them on your shirt. To keep them, to do them. What did Moses do? He taught to do. What did he tell the children of Israel? I'm teaching you so that you would do these things. Wherefore shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep. Do you see the word keep? I am seeing, as you're watching with me, that God is putting some obligation on us. Again, as a disciple, I have an obligation. As you, as a believer, you have an obligation. You have to keep. You have a responsibility. That's why discipleship doesn't fit well for people who are not disciplined, because they have an accountability. There's something they must do, but they don't want to do it. And keep them and do then that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. There it is again. He wants to keep it. He wants to guard it. And he will love thee and bless thee. I love this scripture right here. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. Why don't we just say that like 1,000 times? And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. One more time. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee.
How does that happen, Pastor? When I keep the covenant of God, when I do what I'm supposed to do in righteousness, when I realize the atoning blood of the Lamb, when I realize all that Jesus has caused for you and I to have as participants and partakers and the promises of God through the cross of Calvary, when I realize that and I guard that, I get to experience His love, His blessings, and His increase. Is anybody here? People wonder, how come I don't live a victorious life? How come I don't have these things in life and I don't have the joy? And remember, it has nothing to do with trinkets and stuff. What you're wearing, what you're driving, and what you're sleeping in has nothing to do with that. It's the internal peace of God. Because again, I can tell, just give me 5 minutes, what kind of person, what kind of believer you are. Do you really believe the covenants of God? Because out of your mouth, you will speak it. And we'll find out who you really are. And so He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. And He'll also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land and thy corn and thy wine and thy, what? Oil and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep and the land which He sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Now notice that when you enter into the promises of God, there's the provision of God. There's the prosperity of God. That doesn't mean that everything goes perfect for you. Sometimes there's trouble. Sometimes there's loss. Sometimes there's decrease. Sometimes there's conflict and battle and there's casualties. But the promises He made to Israel is the same promises that are made to us when Jesus said that I'll give you life and life more abundantly, that I'll bless you coming in. I'll bless you in all your ways. And so we take that principle of what He told them in the natural, and we can be blessed in our natural lives as well. We can also be blessed spiritually. You know, isn't it nice to know that you can give birth to good things? You can give birth to good relationships around you. The problem with most believers is that we try to give birth to Ishmael instead of Isaac's. Remember this about Isaac's and Ishmael's. Ishmael's you can't kill. You can send them away, but they never leave your life. So be careful of Ishmael's. All right, that's another teaching, but I got to go. Verse 14, and thou shalt be blessed above all people. And there shall be a male or female, shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Everybody say all sickness. You say, well, we deal with sickness. Well, sure, we're still in the flesh. We're fighting the good fight of faith. We're aging. We're fighting gravity. We're fighting a lot of things. But how many all know there's coming a glorious wake-up day? There's coming a day of ultimate healing. Watch this. But you can still be healed. Why? By His stripes. That's how and why. And we'll put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon them that hate thee. So basically what he's saying in that verse is everything. You can go back. I don't have time, but you can go back and see the battles and the sicknesses that were laid upon the Egyptians. And God was saying this, because you love me and keep covenant and relationship with me, and because I'm guarding and keeping my end of the deal. By the way, if God didn't keep His end of the deal, we're not going to make it. But He keeps it. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He watches over His word. But all of those things that came upon them, God says, I will not put them upon you, children of Israel. That's a great promise, isn't it? And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee, and thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them? By the way, dispossess them. By the way, how many of y'all have ever woke up and said, I can't do this? This is too much. The report was too bad from the doctor. The bill was too high. Come on, the stress is too much. We've all felt that way, that our enemy was mightier than I. But God has a remedy. Watch this. And thou shalt not be afraid of them. Everybody say, no fear. And thou will well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and all of Egypt. Stop right there. Remember the journey. He said it so many times. Don't forget where he took you from. Don't forget the battles. Don't forget the scars. Don't forget all the things you went through, the tears, because in that you find your faith increased and the strength of God. So let's go on. The great temptations, talking about the judgments, which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all. Everybody say all. All the people of whom thou art afraid. Oh, man. You can go to bed on that scripture right there. Come on, if you're troubled in your mind right now, if you're going through situations and circumstances and you don't have the understanding and you don't have the answer, all you need to know that what God did for the children of Israel by destroying the works of the enemy in Egypt, he will do the same because he did it through Jesus Christ. When Jesus did what? He destroyed the works of the devil. He openly showed him defeated. And he says what? You don't have to be afraid. You'd be surprised how many people are afraid. Verse 20, moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they are left and hide themselves from thee and be destroyed. I saw this scripture, man. I just got so tickled. I just thought about big old wasps and big old bees and big old hornets just going after my enemies. Somebody here. I mean, that is just, God is awesome. He don't need to send a meteorite. He don't need an earthquake or hurricane. He don't need Gabriel. He don't need any of these things. He can just use flies. He can use bees. He can use hornets. Just go back to Joshua and look at the story in Exodus and see the story. God actually sent those hornets and drove the kings out. So the children of Israel could come in. You ought to take a scripture like that and see. Some of y'all are just too religious because you're like, I don't find any humor in that, Pastor. I think it's hilarious. I think it's absolutely hilarious because next time I pray and I got an enemy, I'm going to say, God, you can use bees. You can use bumblebee tuna. I don't care, God. There's nothing's impossible for you. Use Honey Nut Cheerios. It don't matter. God, just do it. Well, that's just on whatever, man. God has done some awesome things. Think about lice getting in the hair of Pharaoh and all those people, everybody scratching. That's hilarious. I love this stuff. You know, because we get so theologically just petrified and, you know, and whatever, man. Could you imagine Belshazzar right there, man, holding the golden, you know, holding all the instruments there, the things of God's temple, and then all of a sudden a big giant finger come out right on the wall, this hand. I mean, that's hilarious. And then his knees hit together. He basically went out of joint. I love it, man. Anyways, you're you're too holy for me, but so go back to that verse. I want to read it one more time. What time is it? I got time, don't I? Give me 5 more minutes. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send hornets among them until they are left, and they hide themselves from thee and be destroyed. All right, get it? Be destroyed. Be destroyed. You guys have no sense of humor whatsoever. And thou shalt not be frightened at them. For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Watch this. And the Lord thy God will put out these nations before thee by little. Now, this is very important that you see this because this is a very powerful discipline principle I want you to see here. He said you're going to do it little by little. There are things in life that you only get little by little. There are kingdom principles and walking in discipline and walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ that you can only get little by little. Because God doesn't want us to have everything all at one time. Number one, we'd be spoiled. Number two, we couldn't handle it. If the glory of God really came on you, and I've been in some very powerful meetings in my ministry, if the power of God really, really came on you and he really wanted to show himself strong, you'd be in heaven. Your physical body cannot handle the glory of God. He has to minimize it. If you don't believe that, look at those who came encounter with Jesus. And when he spoke and the glory came, they fell as what? Dead men. Look at the Bible. The Bible teaches you a lot. And the Lord thy God will put out these nations before thee little by little, that they may not consume at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. Now, that's pretty cool. Let me hit this principle here and I'll move on. You say, why did he put that in there? What about the beast? Well, there's some wisdom here. Number one, if you were to go in and destroy all these people, then what would come out at night? You can't bury them fast enough. And so the principle was that the beast would come out. What would happen? You couldn't bury the people. So he was speaking of that as well as not consuming these enemies so quickly, because you are not strong enough and you don't have enough numbers. So a lot of great principles there. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. And the graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire, and thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them. First, watch this. And what's the principle today? The principle is this. I live in a world that functions on currency, whether that currency is precious metals or that currency is cash, it's fiat currency or whatever it may be. But my true currency is faith. The kingdom of God operates by faith, not by euros or rubles or by dollars or by gold nuggets or by silver coins. It goes by faith. And so I am not to put my trust in the silver and the gold and the currency of the earth. Does that make sense? I need it to operate, and it will come to me. It has to come to me because we operate by faith. And we operate according to a kingdom principle that if I am winning souls, and if I am a covenant-keeping person, and if I'm making covenant with people by bringing them into the kingdom of God, then what does he say? I give you power to attain wealth. It's got to happen. So don't act poor around me. Let me try that. Don't act poor around me if you're a believer. Because if you're acting poor, then you're not truly sowing into the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about filth, rich, and all that stupid materialism, prosperity junk. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about true kingdom living, because if you're doing what God told you to do, you have more than enough. More than enough. Not just money, more than enough stuff. There'll be more than enough food. There'll be more than enough bread. Why? Because you are a sharer and a giver, and God always increases the giver, always. If you don't give, then you're selfish and you're stagnant, and you are like the Dead Sea. You're open, but you don't give out. Oh, that's good preaching. So the graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire, and thou shalt not desire the gold or silver that's on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Anything else? Watch this. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into the house. Don't bring that stuff in here. Don't bring the worldly system in here. That's why you can't use your money to buy off a preacher. Not here. I got to go. You know it's the truth. People do it all the time. They bring money in. They bring influence. They bring stuff in. And they want to influence the leadership. They want to influence people or whatever like that. They take the things off of their idols and try to bring it into the house of God. And unfortunately, many pastors bite it and they take it. And next thing you know, they don't teach like they used to. They don't preach like they used to, because sister bags and yeah, money guys, they make them quiet down. They don't work here. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination to the house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly do what? Detest it. And thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. That's Deuteronomy chapter 7. God is good. And I did it just almost in time, a few minutes after. So what are we going to bring this into a finality. It's this, that Moses was teaching them principles to live by, to not only possess the land, but to keep the land. And it's the same thing that Jesus teaches us. It's not just to get saved. When you're saved, you're saved. It is now to move past that and move into discipleship so that you can keep the things that God has prepared for you and I, not just on earth, but also in heaven. So you don't lose your rewards. You don't lose the things that God has promised you because he loves you. And he set his love on us and he chose us. And watch this. He loves us, he blesses us, and he multiplies us. Wow. What an awesome God we serve. Father, thank you for the truth of your word tonight. I pray that it just sits so deeply in our hearts and it becomes real. Lord, not just for a time of teaching to hear somebody teach, but really make it real, an indelible mark within our hearts. And when we walk and when we talk and when we live, the evidence of that truth, it'll be right there before us. So thank you so much for Deuteronomy chapter 7 and this teaching tonight. We love you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.